The majority of the money we have for conservation comes from U.S. funding. And it's something that is a story that is often not told. Like with the Imam Shafi'i in particular, because it's such a religious building, so people were saying, why do you have funding from the U.S.? This is a very odd thing to have. And it was a good opener to discuss this idea of how this kind of heritage is heritage that belongs to the world, and that it addresses values that are universal and that everyone can relate to.
When you think of Egypt, you might think of pyramids, statues, and mummies. But these iconic monuments and objects haven't survived millennia on their own. And they're not the only elements of cultural heritage that Egypt has to offer. Heritage is a living thing, and it's people like Dr. May Alibrashi who makes it so for everyone. Everyone has a story to tell. People, places, and international exchange. This is Voices of Exchange.
Oh, and I'm May Alibrashi. I'm the director of the Imam Shafi'i Conservation Project, which is what we're going to talk about. But I'm an architect and I specialize in heritage and conservation. And for years, I've also been studying the historic cemeteries of Cairo, which are very special because they're very old, but they also have a very old tradition of being multifunctional. So they're not just funerary, they are also places where people live and where there's commerce and where there are markets. And they're also sites of visitation, and arguably the most important site of visitation in the Southern Cemetery is the Imam Shafi'i Mausoleum. This is a mausoleum from the 13th century that has within it the Imam Shafi'i, who is the founder of one of four rites of Sunni Islam. So it's a very important building, both spiritually and historically, and also art historically, because it's almost like a record of all the styles from the Islamic period that you have in Egypt from the 13th century onwards. So we have been starting 2016 until 2021. We have worked on the conservation of the building with funding from the Ambassador's Fund for Cultural Preservation. And right now we had the opening in April 2021. And now we have a second grant from the U.S. Embassy for a visitor center and a training program there over the next year to train people on how to introduce the visitor center, actually set it up, to train people on how to run it, and also to raise the profile of the building so that we get more visitors, whether within the local community or also within Cairo or internationally as well. Understanding the different types of significance for the building, for the different kinds of users, because it has so many meanings, different meanings for different people. You are dealing with a cemetery, and so you are required to deal with it, the kind of respect that a cemetery deserves, especially a cemetery that is that historic, and that also has a number of shrines and burials of spiritual significance. You also have to take into account the fact that Imam Shafi'i is the center, not just the spiritual, but also the residential and the commercial center of Al-Kharafa or the Southern Cemetery. So you have residents living around you, and you have to take those into account as well. Then you also have to work with the understanding that it does not just belong to Egyptians. It belongs to Muslims in general, Sunni Muslims in general, from all over the world, who, especially those who are who adhere to a Shafi'i as a Sunni rite, as a branch of Sunni Islam, if you will. And you also have to take into account the fact that because it is such a beautiful building, because it is such a work of art, because it is such a feat of structural engineering, you also have visitors from Egypt and from all over the world who come to it because of its cultural significance. So a good part of our work is balancing between all of these different considerations.
Restoration work doesn't always go smoothly. Historic sites have been restored both in Egypt and abroad, and then have been ignored, causing them to revert to their unrestored state. In order to ensure longevity of cultural sites, May knew from her work that something different had to be done. She needed to involve the local community, by exploring what the historical buildings and sites meant to the community, and then how they could serve and benefit them, May has created an approach that is as trailblazing as it is common sense, with her initiative Aktherlena, which means heritage is ours.
We had a concern about the relationship between monuments and heritage sites and the community around them, especially in densely populated living cities like historic Cairo. And we felt that the best way of preserving and safeguarding the heritage of cities such as these is to bring the community in as a main actor, a main player in the process of conservation. And we felt that historically, this had not been the case, and that people's connection to these heritage sites had weakened, had lessened through the years. In 2012, from I think July to December, we met with different stakeholders, whether from the community or from the government or different kinds professionals, for example, academics, etc., to ask that question. Is it true that if people have a sense of ownership of their heritage, they will take better care of it? And if it is true, how do we strengthen this sense of ownership? And at the end of the 6 months of discussion, we felt that this sense of ownership is strengthened through benefit. That if people feel that there is a link of mutual benefit between them and heritage sites, and that if they feel that they benefit from these heritage sites, whether spiritually or socially or economically or culturally, they will take care of it. And this is how we came to the general mandate of our initiative, which is heritage as a driver for development. So in the case of a place like Al-Imam Shafi'i, this is a very specific kind of building. You cannot really derive very kind of functional uses out of it. You cannot adapt it for another use, for example. But what you can do is to amplify spiritual benefit on many levels for different kinds of people, to amplify cultural benefit and also on many levels, and to also figure out ways where the local community feels that the building serves them in some way. So in our case, the visitor center also incorporates an activity room for children. And the training includes training for the people who will be running the visitor center from the government to run regular activities for the children of the neighborhood, maybe to incorporate women as well, so that there is an educational benefit that people feel that connects them more to the building. In other neighborhoods where we work, we kind of open it up a little bit more. So, for example, in the neighborhood of Al-Khalifa, which is the city proper, we investigated the problem of groundwater and derived a solution to dewater heritage sites, but also use the water extracted to irrigate gardens around, and so to introduce gardens for the benefit of the community, and also in the process, lower the water level for the benefit of the heritage site. So these are the kinds of things that we try and investigate in order to create stronger links between the community and their heritage, so that they feel out of their own accord that they want to take care of these buildings and safeguard them and protect them.
May's career didn't start in community meeting rooms. Her path to founding Aktherlena and creating its extraordinary approach was winding, marked by a constant passion for wanting conservation to be better and to be more contextual in its approach. It was also driven by curiosity and love for the buildings she was working on that would lead to a surprising discovery.
I have worked on cultural preservation since I was a student in architecture school. So I have a passion for historic cities. I have a passion for Cairo. I've worked in Cairo, on historic Cairo, almost all of my professional life. But from 2009 to 2012, I stopped working on conservation and tried to explore working as an academic full-time, because I felt that the work that we do, there's something missing in it, that we kind of lovingly conserve a building, we lovingly restore it, it's just such a wonderful thing to do. But then the building is closed up. It is not used. It is not maintained. And maybe 5 or 10 years later, it reverts to its original, to the condition it was in before we did the conservation project. So I kind of took the time off to think about it. And to be honest, when we first started investigating this idea of linking heritage to development, we didn't really know where we were going to land. I mean, we started off with a kind of theoretical question, if you will. But by the end of it, we felt that we were onto something that has potential. And we started off with conservation and heritage education. Then that extended to heritage industries as well. And then it extended to working on an urban level, on urban regeneration. And we started off in one neighborhood in the municipality of Al Khalifa, where we work. And now we work on in three different neighborhoods. And as we do that, we develop more and more techniques to create these kinds of links. And it's very gratifying because it has taught me a lot, because it has taught me that heritage is not just about what is 600 years old. Maybe even more importantly, it is about the heritage that we are making today.
Beginning with just 30 students in 2012, May started a heritage school to connect children and teenagers to the history around them. That number has more than tripled in less than a decade.
The idea of the school is to educate children about their heritage in a manner that is relevant and that is interesting, and to create this link between the past and the present that shows them that they are part of this continuum, that puts them in the place where they understand that they themselves are creating their own heritage and their own culture. And the idea of relevance is not just in terms of connecting them to the past, but also in connecting it to real needs now. So at the beginning, we were kind of very strict about only teaching heritage, but we found that we are in a neighborhood where maybe some kids go to school but can barely read or write, that they need help with mathematics, they need help with languages, they need help with science. And so we started to expand the program so that it teaches basic skills, but always from the perspective of heritage. So if I'm going to teach them about geometry, then I'm going to teach them about the geometry of a dome. If I'm going to teach them math, I will teach them how to calculate the amount of material that is needed to build something. Things of the sort. If I'm going to teach them science, there is a link to the history of science and how it relates to buildings that they see around them that are also historic. This program developed after to include a heritage industries component for teenagers, where they start to investigate vocations and professions that they could pursue that also are related to heritage, but from which they can actually derive a livelihood. And this has been very interesting. Our teenagers are now designing products that they're running towards. And quite a few of them are now interested in pursuing vocations and professions that are heritage related. We also have a program for women that does the same thing, but with women, so that they themselves encourage their children to do that and they're able to educate their children. So we expand bit by bit according to kind of the terrain and where it leads us, but also with a very specific mandate in mind. I think the most important thing I would say is that to do this, you have to have, first of all, a passion for the place where you're working, but you also have to have you have to be willing to explore different kinds of disciplines. And you have to understand that you're at the intersection of many disciplines. So you are obviously at the heart of the discipline of conservation, and that is a technical, it's a technical discipline, it's a technical know-how, and it requires running a site the way you run a construction site. It requires understanding structure, understanding the properties of material, understanding chemistry. It also requires people skills because you're running a team. In parallel to that, you have to have the spirit of a researcher, because as you conserve, you learn and you do more research and you learn more, and it's interchangeable. So you have a question, you investigate it in one way, and then you cross-referencing with something that you find on site, and then you go back and investigate again, and it doesn't end. So it's important to keep that kind of spirit. But then you also have to have a passion for understanding the socioeconomic context, the urban context, and for connecting between these different kinds of disciplines. So it's quite tiring, but it's also extremely gratifying, and it's never boring. And so we get a lot of people who hear about us and are interested in training with us or working with us. And a lot of people, some people drop out because they feel that it's overwhelming or it's not the field that they're interested in after a while. But those who stay, they stay, because it's almost, there's this, no day is the same as the next. It is not a boring 9-to-5 job. It is an extremely stimulating and gratifying job. It's also extremely tiring and at times extremely frustrating. So it is not for the faint or the weak-hearted. This is what I would say.
We'd like to thank Dr. May Alibrashi for taking the time to inspire all of us to value our universal cultural heritage. And also to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. Each episode, we strive to bring you inspiring stories from our global network of exchange alumni. Have an international exchange story yourself? Have any questions or suggestions? Email us at voicesofexchange@state.gov or reach out to us on Instagram at voicesofexchange. We would love to hear from you. You can also find out more information on our alumni and our global network at alumni.state.gov. This is Voices of Exchange.